Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through the end of February. I also provide this monthly market update on my blog post each month, which includes some additional graphs, which I'll reference today, but you can also view on my blog post if time. The general format I cover for these market updates will be the same. It includes the following. I provide an update on the major asset classes and any noteworthy moves for the month. I'll give you an update on the Treasury market interest rate environment. I'll comment on the Federal Reserve activity, a lot going on last year and into this year as well. And then finally, any special topic for the month. This month, I'm going to talk about inflation a bit more. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So I always begin, the first part is going to talk about the major asset classes. On my blog post, you'll find I have a table showing the different major asset classes. I show the monthly returns and then the year-to-date returns, as well as previous year returns, just for context of how things are doing. And then I also, below that, will include a graph of the major asset classes. I use ETFs for convenience, but it shows the total return of those major asset classes over the past 12 months, so you can see how the returns have progressed over time, and not just how it was doing, you know, as a one point in time snapshot. So starting with the table, for this month, you may recall in January, everything was up. The market came out of the gates red hot in January. The equity markets were up very, very strongly. The bond market kind of thought the Fed might be pausing and even cutting in 23. So interest rates went down a lot. So January was a red hot. Everything was up across the board. In February, it's pretty much the reverse of that. If you look at the table on the monthly returns, everything has a negative return in front of it. The two exceptions, I guess, cash and inflation, which we'll talk about later. But otherwise, everything was down for the month. A couple of outliers with bigger moves. Emerging markets were down 6.5%. So that was that's the biggest down move for the month, emerging markets. And then closely behind that, REITs and commodities were down close to 5%. And even, bonds, I was mentioning interest rates reversed course and went up in February, which means bond prices down. So in addition to REITs and commodities being down close to 5, the 30-year Treasury, that return, total return for the month alone was down 4.5%. So those are the notable outliers for the month of February. Looking at the graph showing the returns over the past 12 months and how it progressed, definitely a noticeable change. Beginning of 2023, all of the asset classes were going up, up, up. Coming February 1st, things reversed course, and you can see the returns going back down. Notable thing you'll see for the past 12 months returns, again, for the asset classes I grabbed here, but the highest returning and the lowest returning for the past 12 months, ranging from minus 4.6% to a negative 17.3%, actually both came from international equities. So the developed markets, think Europe, Australia, the Far East, Japan, those were down only 4.6%, whereas the emerging markets, China, India, emerging countries, those were down 17.3%. So kind of interesting that the two extremes were from the same major asset class anyway. And then the other thing to note too, IYR is a ticker, so REITs, U.S. REITs, think commercial real estate. Those are down quite a bit. That's the second least returning asset class, down 13.4% for the last 12 months. And these are total return numbers, so that does include any reinvested dividends, which some of these can kick off nicely. So that's showing signs of weakness. Again, not only a higher rate environment, you can see that sharp pullback starting February, early February, But also there seems to be some cracks showing up in that in the commercial real estate marketplace. There's a couple of funds that are not closing down, some withdrawals. I can't recall if it was Blackstone or Blackstone, I think it was. And then recently there was a PIMCO managed fund. They had some trouble rolling over the debt. So just getting a sense of, definitely an asset class to watch. There seems to be, I remain underweight that for that reason, along with higher interest rates. On the sector front, I don't show any graphs on the table here, but tech and industrials led the way in February. Actually, I think tech eked out a small positive 0.5%, let's call it, for the month of February. And on the other end of the spectrum, energy getting clocked these days. That's down 7% for the month. This is using the S&P sector indices. And then utilities, in addition to REITs, which I mentioned already, but utilities actually showed a close down 6%. So those are the at the sector level what's going on. Actually, utilities, I was surprised they held up as well as they did last year, given the rate environment. But this year, they're actually, on a year-to-date basis, the utilities are the ones that are the least, the most lagging, down 7.8%. So makes a little more sense to me now given the rate environment, but took a little while for that to catch up. So that is the major asset class summary. So moving on to the treasury market. My blog post, I have a graph. I show over the past 5 years the treasury yields for different maturities. So starting with the 3 month, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, 30 year, and then I also show the 10 year TIPS market, the real yield. So I show those rates on the graph. If you're a regular listener, there's no surprise. So starting in 2022, all of those lines started going up and started going up a lot. So obviously, 2022 was the year of really, really high rates moving up a lot. They pulled back late last year, and so again, kind of that theme of February is kind of the opposite of January. Same thing was true in the treasury rate market. So interest rates, again, after the February 1st or 2nd, whenever the jobs report came out, which I'll get into in a second, interest rates definitely reversed course and shot up quite a bit. So, rates were up. The two-year went up a lot, again, starting to price in more Fed action. So that was up over 70 basis points, so 0.7% for the month alone, which is a huge move. So that is now close to the 3 month T-bills, which are now at over 4.85%. So good old U.S. government 3 month money can earn you 4.85%. 6 month made the news this past month that reached over 5%. So definitely getting a lot of attention on the T-bills these days, which is a very high rate. I like that a lot. So that's great. Just be aware though, if you're a longer term investor. Yes, let's just call it 5%. Let's round today. That's great, but and it may stay here high for a while. But in terms of locking in rates, that will go away. If the Fed later, probably likely in 2024, but you're not locking in those rates forever. So it is a very nice rate now, and I'm a big fan of them. But just be aware that if rates do turn around and start, if the economy turns around and rates start going down. That will too, but you're not really locking in any price gains from that. Whereas if you go out a bit further on the curve, buying some longer dated paper, you are going to capture that price return. I digress. Let's come back to the market here. So so that was the rate moves jumped back up in February. January, mortgage rates started coming back down. They were actually approaching 6%. I was talking to somebody the other day. Didn't quite get below 6, but at least getting closer to 6%. But unfortunately, that all got reversed out in February here with these higher rates. The real yield, I mentioned, I show it here. It's actually up back above 1.5%, so which is nice. So again, as a quick reminder for TIPS, you get a real yield, a fixed coupon, implied yield here right now of 1.5%, plus whatever the actual inflation is above and beyond that. You get that via the par amount adjust on the bond, but that's how you get that inflation. So when I say real yield, that's the yield you're going to get above and beyond whatever actual inflation is. Let's see. Yeah, and I already did mention the 3 month T-bills continues to be the highest rate on the chart here, above 4.85%. So that's pretty attractive. So now let's shift over to the Federal Reserve. The last Fed meeting was concluded on February the 1st. The Fed raised rates by 25 basis points, so 0.25%. So the Fed funds rate is now, still do that range, 4.5% to 4.75% is the current Fed funds rate. In the month of January, leading up to that meeting, and even after that meeting for a day or two, the market, the bond market was kind of saying, was fighting the Fed. It's like, well, we think the Fed is going to have to pause their rate rises and even start to cut rates later on in 2023 is what the bond market was pricing in. Listening to the Powell speech after the February 1st meeting, he disagreed, but again, he had to wait for the data. He wasn't going to go out and try to convince the bond market, but the Fed's belief was definitely that they had more work to do. And that, in fact, was the case. And so a couple of things happened in February. February the 2nd or 3rd, whatever that Friday was, the jobs report, which, you know, the first Friday of February for the month of January, was a very hot number. Unemployment rate came down. So that was definitely a big shock to the bond market where, hey, maybe that Fed does have to keep moving on rates. And then two more things throughout February to reinforce that. And those were inflation readings. So I'll get into that in a bit. But CPI came in hotter than expected, reinforcing, okay, the Fed's got to keep going. And then the PCE reading, which is the Fed's preferred inflation reading, came out end of the month. That was hotter than expected. So so right now, definitely a huge shift in the market expectations of what the Fed is going to be doing. The next meeting is on March 22nd is when it concludes. That meeting does include the Fed's, they call it the Summary of Economic Projections. So in the past, it got most attention because it included the quote-unquote dot plot, where the Federal Reserve members see the Fed funds rate being over the next 1, 2, and 3 years at the end of each year. So that's always interesting, and that will be interesting again this time. But it also includes some of their economic projections. And so where does the Fed see inflation being at the end of the year? Where do they see the unemployment rate being at the end of the year? Again, recall those are the two mandates of the Federal Reserve. Unemployment is running red hot right now, so they've gotten the flexibility or green light, if you will, to keep raising rates to fight inflation because unemployment is still quite strong. And then going back to on my blog post, I got the chart here, but I'll just talk through it here as well. The CME group puts out this thing called the FedWatch tool, and it the concept is it uses Fed funds futures prices to imply how much the market is saying or expecting that the Federal Reserve will have to raise rates. And so the interesting thing was before February 1st at the Fed meeting before the jobs report, the market was saying, you know what, the Fed's going to have to move maybe another half a percent, so 0.5%, and there was about a 40% chance of that happening. Otherwise, it would just be a 25% chance. It was a very likelihood of that. But after that hot jobs report I mentioned, that chance of having two more rate hikes, meaning another half a percent, assuming they only go a quarter of a point each meeting, that jumped up from below 40% all the way up to above 80%, which is a big number. And then when you got confirmation from the CPI and then the PCE reading. So right now the Fed funds futures market is pricing in with 100% certainty they're going to go at least 50 basis points more, 0.5%. So that would end the Fed funds rate would be between 5 and 5.25, which coincidentally matches the dot plot from the December, the last economic projection that we got from the Federal Reserve. But what's also very interesting to me is the chance of a 75 basis point move, so three more 25 basis point rate hikes, was close to zero in February 1st. Now, after all those things I mentioned, that's approaching an 80% chance. And there's even a chance of a 1% hike, which I don't see in the cards unless numbers come out really ugly. But that's even ticking in at a 20% chance of a 1% rise in here. So definitely, I guess the broad point is, huge change in February of the bond market's expectation. They kind of stopped fighting the Fed, if you will, and now pricing in a pretty active Fed for this year for sure. And as a quick friendly reminder, if you have a home equity line of credit balance, check out that rate. That's much, much higher these days, and pay it down if you can. And also, as a friendly reminder, the Federal Reserve has a huge balance sheet, and they're continuing to roll off $95 billion per month, which means fewer buyers, price goes down, yield goes up. So even if the Fed is still raising interest rates, they're also behind the scenes letting that balance sheet roll off, which is pressuring or on the margin moving interest rates higher as well. And then finally, moving to my special topic for the month. And so I thought I would grab an inflation chart just because that is the numbers that people are watching these days. It's what the Fed is definitely watching. There's two inflation numbers. And so most people, you and I, would know, would worry about the or watch the CPI number, the Consumer Price Index. That comes out mid-month. That's what you see on the news all the time. So that's the CPI. But there's also a Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, the PCE. That is what the Federal Reserve watches. And so the graph on my website, I show both of them together. So you can see, most of the time they kind of move together. The PCE always runs a bit lower than the CPI. Let's not get into the nuances of the difference of the two today. But in general, it runs a bit lower. And it's running the case, that's the case today as well. So they're both very elevated, but PCE is running lower than CPI. But the broad point is I want to show you for the past 20 years, it's been bouncing around that between 1 and 3%, again, hovering around that 2%, which is the Fed's stated target. And then the huge pop, as we all know, starting in late 21 into 22, it started to come back down. And so, again, part of the reason why the bond market was pushing against the Fed in January were a lot of economists, or it was getting a lot of attention, where people were taking the last 3 months of inflation readings and then annualizing that to kind of point out that, yes, inflation was very high given the supply chain issues and et cetera, but at least the trend, the more recent trend, is going down, and they were expecting that. Well, they got a slap in the face in February here. So the CPI reading that came out mid-month, the month-over-month, ran hotter than expected. So you can't see on the chart for the CPI because it was relative to the year-over-year. It's not showing up. But the month-over-month number definitely ran hotter than expected. And then, again, along comes the PCE number, which is actually buried under the personal income report is what it's called at the end of the month. But buried in there is the PCE numbers, and that too came in hotter than expected. So, and you can see that on the graph that does show up the blip here. So that was pretty much the why the big change. The combination of the jobs report and these CPI numbers, why the market is now saying, hey, you know what, the Fed does have more work to do. They're not going to be real keen on stopping their rate rise anytime soon. So, and again, just looking at the chart, so the PCE is coming in at, I think it was 4.7, and the CPI is at 5.6, let's call it. So above 4.5. Recall, the Federal Reserve's stated inflation objective is that 2% range. So quite a ways to go to come back down, so that they've got a lot more wood to chop. Some people are saying that the Fed's going to have to raise that 2% target, might be a bit ambitious. Maybe they'll move it up to 2.5 or 3. But as of now, anyway, that is the stated objective, and that is why the Fed is going to continue to raise rates and keep them higher for longer than the bond market was thinking back in January. So in summary, the February market the February reversed the very strong gains from January. So February, everything was down across the all asset classes. They are holding on to positive year-to-date returns, with the exception of EM and commodities, but it's definitely a change in markets in February. Interest rates also reversed course. They rose quite a bit, especially the two-year was up over 70 basis points for the month alone, so that's a big, big move. The bond market is now not fighting the Fed so much. The Federal Reserve had their meeting that concluded on February 1st. They raised rates by 0.25, lowest raise in a while, but the rate now stands at 4.5 to 4.75. But the big news here is the bond market is now pricing in a lot more rates. And so we're looking at least another 0.5% increase from here, and possibly even 0.75 increase. So those are the major moves. Sitting here on recording this on March the 1st, first 2 months went pretty fast for me, but you know, being with the Chicago Inters, that's okay for me, so I'll take that. I also enjoy daylight after my evening working days, and so I'm looking forward to March 12th for the spring forward of the time to get a little more sunshine at nighttime. So for you morning exercisers, I apologize, but I'm going to enjoy it. All right, let's wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.